We hear the word of God this morning from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, he stood before the altar rail with tears in his eyes. His lips moved in silent prayers that could only be desperate pleas for help, judging by the look of despair on his face. Others moved behind him, careful not to disturb him. He wasn't the only one there that day, looking for some sort of divine intervention in his life. There were countless others. But the worst part wasn't the desperate people looking for help. The worst part is that they had absolutely no hope of receiving it. It was just a couple of weeks ago that this man stood in a temple in India before the altar praying to the marble statue of a man with an elephant's head. In other areas of the temple, others ascended hundreds of steps on their knees, chanting to idols who couldn't hear them, let alone help. Others brought offerings of money or rice or flowers, and the stone idols stared back at the people and saw and heard nothing. And for the few of us Christians there, it was a very difficult sight to watch. Dumb idols, these statues are called in our text. They can't speak. They can't help. And yet people were there by the hundreds, led by devotion or desperation. How were you led here this morning? And why? What made you leave nice warm buildings with the threat of a storm coming? What made you come to chapel today? You may be devoted, you may be desperate, but there's something essentially different behind your reason for being in this chapel today when compared to the people in that Hindu temple. They were led to worship out of fear. You are led out of love. They were led to make offerings to pay for divine favors, but we know that Jesus is the only offering needed. They were led by their needs or desires to worship idols of stone, but you are led by the Holy Spirit to worship the living God, the one true God. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, makes it very clear to the Corinthian Christians that faith in Christ as your Savior is the opposite of faith in anything else. Faith in anything or anyone else can't save us. It turns us to ourselves and to our own good works. And while we may at times be tempted to think that may be enough, that way of thinking leads us away from Christ, to desperation and hopelessness. We're told that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. As Christians, it's unthinkable that we would say anything at all that's opposed to Jesus or the gospel. It's the sign of a very weak faith, a lack of faith, or even a hostility toward the Christian faith when someone speaks against Jesus and his word. And Paul goes on to explain that it's only through faith created by the Holy Spirit that we can confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. It may be true that others will call Jesus Lord. People of other faiths may even do that, but that's not what's meant here. To confess Jesus, to publicly say that you believe in Christ as your Savior, only comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. You may have memorized it this way in the Catechism. I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. It's the Holy Spirit working through the water and word in baptism. It's the Holy Spirit working through the word, through preaching and Bible study. It's not about how good you are. It's not about how many prayers you can say or how well you can sing the hymns. It's not about what you do for God. It's about what he has done for you and what he continues to do. Jesus, the King of Kings, left his perfect kingdom in heaven and came to live on an imperfect earth in a sinful world. He became one of us to perfectly obey God's laws in our place. He did what we were unable to do for us. And while we were still his enemies, we're told, he even died for us. He took all of our sins on himself and he suffered and he died for us. And we're able to believe that. We're capable of believing that only because of the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I wondered as we walked through that temple what the people thought when they left there. Did they worry whether or not they had done enough? If they had said prayers to the correct deity? If they had offered the right things and enough of them? The uncertainty and fear must be terrible burdens to bear. But you don't have the burden of wondering whether your offerings were enough, whether or not your prayers were correct, whether or not God hears you. Thank God that he has saved you through the work of Jesus, his Son. And thank God, the Holy Spirit, that he has created and preserved your faith so that you can confidently confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise as we join our hearts in prayer. We pray. O God, you see that we do not put our trust in anything we do. Mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. We join in singing the next verses of our hymn.